Okay, so Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the, we are discussing the so we are discussing very important verses. Bhumi apam analam vayu kham mano buddhirevaja ahangare diyame bhina prakriti ashtadha. We talked about the eight elements, isn't it? Eight elements. And we also saw there that the Krishna says that about that is called apara prakriti. Apareyam itaspanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yayedam dharyade jagat. We talked a lot about it in the last one or two classes. That jiva's position, what is jiva? Where does jiva stand in the middle of all this prakriti? Jiva's situation. There is apara prakriti, there is para prakriti. Jiva belongs to, actually by nature he is para prakriti. When he is in contact with the apara prakriti, he is jiva. So Krishna's, we were talking about that, and I mentioned there also that the nature of the apara prakriti na para, this is Acharya's commentary on this. They are very important because they have gone through in depth about it, and they know what they are saying, what Krishna is saying very well. He says there, apara na para, it is not para prakriti. The difference is nikrishtam ashuddham anarthakari samsara bandhanatmigeyam. That was the definition of a apara prakriti. What is that? Nikrishtam. Nikrishtam means very low, disgusting it is. Apara prakriti is disgusting. Acharya Swami says that. Why? Bhumi, five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Mind, intelligence, false ego, this is apara prakriti. And this apara prakriti is nikrishtam, he says. It's disgusting. Why? Ashuddham. It is not pure. It is not pure. The five material elements and these three, mind, intelligence and false ego, they are not pure. They are not pure. Why they are not pure? Anarthagari. They only bring problems to the jiva, to the soul. They only bring, why? First they create this material body and puts a wrapper on us in the form of this material body. Then they create this mind, intelligence and false ego and lock you up inside that. Isn't it? This is how we are stuck in this body. We think we are in a fantastic situation, but actually we are not. This mind, body, intelligence, false ego and these five material elements made of this body is anarthagari, nikrishtam, ashuddham, anarthagari. Why? Only because inside that we are samsara bandhanartham. Because of that we are in bondage. You are feeling this bondage now. Bondage means this, I am bound. Isn't it? We are bound, aren't we? At least we understand what bondage means. Bondage means that the soul by nature is eternal. Soul by nature is blissful. And soul by nature is full of knowledge. Another way it's mentioned is, it is eternal, it is pure, it is always conscious, and it's always liberated. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is the soul. It is. But what are we experiencing now in this present state inside this body? We are feeling that we are subjected to death. We are not eternal, we are subjected to death, disease, old age. This is all the anartham that this material body has brought to us. Then what else we do? Instead of feeling any anandam inside, bliss inside, all what we are feeling is misery and distress all the time. Okay, you may say I'm not feeling any distress at the moment, but it will come very soon, one day or the other. It's a question of time that distress to come. When everything, body doesn't listen to you, you cannot do anything with the body. Body gets all kinds of sickness, illness and everything, you will start cursing yourself, this body. Why have I got a body like this? Many people are in that situation in this world, isn't it? That they curse themselves, when can I get out of this body? A stage will come like that. That is why it's called anarthagari. Anarthagari. It's only instead of being blissful all the time, feeling distressed and miserable in this body. Okay. And it says, soul by nature is full of knowledge. Supposed to be full of knowledge. What knowledge have we got? We don't even know what we are. This is the first thing. This is where our knowledge is at the moment. If somebody asks us, who are you? What is the answer? You can answer, tell them your name or from where you come, those things. But you don't know who you are yet. So that's what is called ignorance, avidya. Aparavidya, avidya. This is all aparavidya. It's called aparavidya. Due to the association with the five material elements and these three things, mind, intelligence and false ego, we are polluted. We have lost our identity. We lost our identity as the spirit soul. And that is what we are trying to get it back, that identity, what we have lost. So that is why it says here, anarthagari. Why it is anarthagari is, if you allow your mind into these things, aparavidya, you will never find the ultimate truth. You will never find the ultimate truth. That is the problem with this aparavidya. If you allow your mind and intelligence to absorb in the aparavidya, you will never reach the ultimate truth. You can see the scientists. They have led their mind and intelligence into aparavidya. That's what they are doing. All their research is based on this aparavidya. And aparavidya, Shastram is saying, is avidya. Aparavidya, avidya. Don't get involved in this aparavidya. So for spiritually advanced people, great acharyas, great devotees, jnanis and all that, they have only one thing to tell us. Minimize your aparavidya, first thing. Minimize, bring it to the very minimum. Therefore, that is the reason this science will never become perfect. Any material science, scientists, science, whatever they have come about with, can never become perfect. Not that we have any disrespect or hate towards science. That's not the reason. It is based on this knowledge of understanding. Aparavidya is avidya. It cannot be perfect. That is the problem. It cannot be perfect. Even if you want to make it perfect, you can't make it perfect. So, therefore, it can never be perfect. Therefore, it is called anarthagari. It causes anartham. In another place, also it is mentioned, aprapta ashesha purushartha, prapta ashesha anarthaha. This aparavidya, what it does to you, you know, we must study this aparavidya and paravidya very well in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because it is the knowledge of the absolute. That is the chapter title, isn't it? Jnana Vijnana Yogam, it's called. When we don't study all these things, then what will happen? We will develop some misunderstanding about various things. We won't understand what Krishna is saying to us. Such a powerful message Krishna is talking to us, saying to us, aprapta ashesha purushartha. If you get absorbed in aparavidya, what will happen? He is saying, aprapta ashesha purushartha. You won't be able to make your life a success, first thing. Ashesha purushartha. Purushartha means that the purushartham of human life is liberation from material world, material existence, once for all, to say goodbye to this material life and not to accept another material body. That is purushartham. Purushartham means you don't have to come back to this world again and get another birth in another womb again and start the whole business again. To escape from this once for all is purushartham. This, if you get absorbed in aparavidya, what will happen is, apraptam ashesha purushartha, you will never be able to make your purushartham. Purushartham means the success in the life. And what else will happen? Praptam ashesha anartha. You will increase your anarthas by associating with aparavidya. That is the danger from aparavidya. So aparavidya has got this powerful impact on us. When living entity, the soul, is in contact with aparaprakriti, aparaprakriti is the word that is used in the Bhagavad Gita, when it is in contact with aparaprakriti, the result is that apraptam ashesha purushartha, it will never reach the stage of purushartham or escape from the cycle of birth or death. No, on the other hand, praptam ashesha anarthaha, it will acquire more and more anartham. How? Because once you absorb in aparavidya, what will happen is, it will encourage you to act, engage in karmam, all kinds of karmam. Karmam will create, what will karmam will do? Karma vasana will come. impressions it will create inside, and more desires will develop. These desires will in turn develop into more karma, and that karma in turn will develop more desires. In that, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, there you will see there is a tree Krishna talks about with roots upwards and the branches downwards. That tree is Abhravidya's tree. That tree is the Abhravidya tree. So, absorbing in that, Krishna says, apraptam ashesha purushartha prapta ashesha anarthaha. Therefore, it will keep on increasing your ignorance. If you get absorbed in Abhravidya too much, it will keep increasing your ignorance. And therefore, what do they say? Beware of the knowledge. Like we say, beware of the dog. You have seen that board in some houses? They put the board there outside. There's a dog inside, very Alsatian or Terrier, whatever that is. They'll put a board outside, beware of the dog. Similarly, we say, beware of the knowledge, what you are getting from this world. Because this knowledge has the capacity to bind you to this world more. That's what this knowledge will do. You can notice this also, those who have studied a lot in this material life, and those who have gone and done a lot of research and all kind of things, very difficult for them to understand Bhagavad Gita. Very difficult. It's many, many scientists we know who have studied science so well and done a lot of research, get very close to Nobel Prize or very close, either they got it or they got close to it, and then they are finding it very difficult to understand what Bhagavad Gita is saying. Why? Too much Abhravidya inside. The whole here is filled with Abhravidya. Here it's Abhravidya. All through the body is Abhravidya. What do you do? So when Paravidya is spoken, because the mind is become too much into logic and reasoning. Instead of accepting Krishna's authority, they got so used to this logic and reasoning business. That's why it is said, Abhravidya, Avidya. That is the first statement. So we have to be very, very alert not to get trapped into that. So whatever knowledge is required to live in this world, we can take it to maintain a life in this world. More than that, any other knowledge that comes from this world, you have to be aware of what knowledge is going to do. So that is why it is there, samsara bandhanatmika. That is the problem. Bandhanatmika means it binds you to this world more. That's what it says. Nikrishtam ashuddham anarthagari samsaram bandhanatmikeyam. It binds you to this world. That's what it does. If we acquire too much material knowledge, it will bind us more to this world. You can see that in this world also. Say some scientists or people who are not into this spiritual life, after they studied a particular subject like astronomy or this rocket science or things like that, they get so absorbed in that. And they start thinking that, oh, if I can live all my life with research in the rocket field, sending every few months one rocket to the sky and government pays for it, it's not a bad thing. Somebody else is paying for it and making a living out of it, basically, in other words. Whole that setup is Abhravidya. It's Abhravidya, nothing but Abhravidya. Trying to find out what is there up in the sky, what's going on in the other planet, what's happening in the Mars, what's happening in the Moon, what's happening in all the other planets, Saturn, can we go there, is there water there? Enquiring like this, endless inquiry. In the Acharya Swamiji says about this type of people, he says, there's another category in this world, he says, they want to do some research in this world. They thought about this, what should I do research about that? They couldn't get any subject, so they thought, a crow was flying. So they managed to get the crow, got hold of the crow and brought it. And they started counting how many teeth the crow has got. Kaga drishti, they said it. Kaga danda drishti, they call it. Because we need some subject to do research work, isn't it? So let us get something, one crow from the sky, and get many crows after that. And see, all crows have got the same number of teeth. And make a table out of that. And see, this kind of research work. So this whole Abhravidya, Abhravidya is like that. It wouldn't help anything. Useless things like that. Instead of trying to realize the truth, who we are, why are we like this in this state, instead of inquiring that, they are busy with all kinds of research work in this world. So, Why it is said like that is, when we come to know that when we have this problem with Abhravidya, if you understand, it is very interesting also. Said, when we come to know about an object, it will create an inhibition in us, isn't it? It will create some inhibition in us. For example, I give you a bit example, that suppose two people met each other and one of them spoke about somebody else, some opinion about someone else, about his nature or about his activities, something like that he has told you. And then you happen to meet that person. So what is the situation now? You've already heard about him from your friend, certain things about him. With that background, that will be in your mind when you deal with that person. It is natural, isn't it? It will natural. So what is happening now is, instead of seeing that person as he is, our vision is colored now because of these words what you heard from your friend about him. You cannot see him as he is now. You will only see him through the eyes of your friend, what impressions he has given you about him. This is quite common in this world, isn't it? We all go through this problem all the time. Somebody tells you about someone, and then you already developed that, in a certain level you have accepted about him, this is how he is, and then when you deal with him, that will be in the back of your mind. About your back of your mind. So, instead of knowing his pure nature, this will become a block in your dealings with him. So, that blockage is called avidya. Our blockage is called avidya. That is in personal level. Similarly, in realizing Krishna in this world, self-realization also, this abharavidya comes as a block, just like the same way. Abhravidya has already taught you that this is the truth. Abhravidya is telling you about the truth in different ways, isn't it? They tell you Big Bang theory, one theory they have brought forward. Primordial soup, what they call it. Then there is the black hole. There is one girl I met the other day, she was a devotee, and she was doing some big research work. She has finished all degree, post-graduation and all that in Manchester. She said she's studying that black hole in the sky. Very intelligent person, because she has gone through all this and gone to that level, and now she's studying that black hole. Apparently there is a black hole. I don't know whether you heard about this. You will see in the astronomical magazines. Apparently what this black hole does is, it sucks all the stars into it and it disappears in that black hole. So, what is this black hole made of? She's trying to find out that. Research is going on. And she has to do that 4 or 5 years and present a paper and get her doctorate in that subject, whatever she has to study. So, if you do, what is this doing now? This abharavidya will come as a block in realizing the truth. It comes as a block, because already abharavidya has told you that this, the black hole and the primordial soup and the Big Bang is all in your head. So when you start searching the truth, these things comes as a block in front of you, because you're always looking at it through the black hole and through the primordial soup and through the Big Bang. That's all you can do the experiment, research like that. You cannot be independent out. Already you have some information. About scientists have told us, so we naturally tend to accept that. That is why, instead of seeing a person, in everyone there is paravidya, para-prakriti and apara-prakriti, in everybody. We are all made of both, isn't it? We have para-prakriti and we have apara-prakriti in us. Apara-prakriti is earth, water, air, ether, fire, the 5 material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego, is the apara-prakriti in us. The para-prakriti in us is the soul. The soul who is present in us is the para-prakriti. So in the normal dealings in this world, so suppose you talk about somebody else to your friend and mentions that he's come from such and such a place, this is his background, he has got this nature in him and things like that. If you make any comment words like that, that will all be inside us when we get to see that person or meet with him. Ashuddham bandha alpiya samsara bandhangari nikrishtam. So, So question is, I don't need to know all those things. What is the purpose of knowing all that things about him? So we will say, oh, I'm already warning you that if you're going to meet you, you keep these things in your mind. We'll say like that. So, if you understand that these things, what he has understood about that person is his avara prakriti. Is his avara prakriti. He has not understood the person yet. What you are talking about another person, you are only talking about his apara prakriti. You are not talking about his para prakriti. So all this certification or this character, what we talk about different people, their personality and all that, is what we call as apara prakriti. Apara prakriti is problem, you know. It is always subject to change. It's not the same. It is not the same. Apara prakriti is always subject to change. So if you put your faith in apara prakriti, you will be cheated. You will be cheated. Apara prakriti is always meant to change. That is the nature of the apara prakriti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is presented very well. How does it happen? Because apara prakriti is not his real nature. That is not his real self. In other words, he is not the avara prakriti. Avara prakriti came upon him out of avidya, it has come. His real nature, self, spirit soul is different. He is different. So, no matter who it is in this world, his para prakriti is always high. Avara prakriti, no matter if he is, even if he is a very wicked person, even if he is a very wicked person, his paraprakriti is very high. Do you understand? Paraprakriti means the spiritual identity is high. In the Bhagavadam, there are two personalities brought together to teach us this thing. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada. This is the purpose of bringing these two together. Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada. To teach us paraprakriti and paraprakriti. There it says here that Hiranyakashipu's nature is demoniac. Asuram, isn't it? Demoniac nature. That is his apara prakriti. He says here, apara prakriti may be good or bad, but para prakriti is always good. That's the important thing. His para prakriti is always good. Apara prakriti may be good or bad. So if you focus all your attention on the apara prakriti, what is the use? Where do you have to focus your attention? It says here, anyam vishuddham prakritim. Let's look at that. The commentary says here that itosya yathoktasya tval anyam vishuddham prakritim mamalpa bhudam vidhime param prakrishtam jiva bhudam kshetratnya lakshanam pranadharanam nimitta bhudam he mahabaho yaya prakritiyadam dharyade jagad anda praveshyada. This is the commentary on that verse. It's a very important statement in the sense that if you leave your attention on the apara prakriti, what does it do to you? Nikrishtam, ashuddham, anarthagari, samsara bandhanam. Four things happen from that, as he mentioned before. Nikrishtam, very disgusting, and because ashuddham, it is impure. This apara prakriti is very impure. Anarthagari, it creates all kinds of anarthas at the end. Anartha means inauspicious things it creates. And samsara bandhanam. You will be bound more and more to this body and to this world. You will never be able to escape from here. But idosyaha yathoktasthvalto anyam vishuddham. What is the nature of para prakriti? Vishuddham. Always pure. Always pure. Prakriti mamatma bhudam. And it is Krishna himself who is present there. Vidhi me param prakrishtam jiva bhudam. And jiva is a part of that, of Krishna's part. Kshetratnya lakshanam, that is the lakshanam of the person who is living inside this avara prakriti. Pranadharana nimitta bodham, he mahabaho. That he is only there, and because of his presence, pranan is functioning in that body, everything is happening there. Ya prakritiyadam dharyade jagad anda pravishtaya. That only because he is inside, he has occupied there, anda pravishtaya, he has entered there, this para prakriti, avara prakriti is all doing different kinds of things. So, the important thing, everyone has apara prakriti and para prakriti. if we take Aparaprakriti seriously, and if we start evaluating everyone based on the Aparaprakriti, we will be committing a blunder, a great mistake. The real way to see a person is to see his Paraprakriti. Because Aparaprakriti is subject to change. Aparaprakriti is subject to change. It is not the same all the time. Paraprakriti never changes. That's the point Krishna is making here. Beyond this Aparaprakriti, Krishna says here there is another nature. Atma Bhudam, Atma Prakriti. Mamatma Bhudam Vidhime Para Prakrishtam Jiva Bhudam Kshetrajna Lakshanam Pranadharan Nimitta Bhudam He Mahabaho. Says here, Kshetrajna Lakshanam. Now, this body which Krishna says is Kshetrajnam. You know this word, Kshetrajnam. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this word coming up very often. Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Krishna says, the body, this body, material body, is called Kshetram, the field. And Krishna says, I am the Kshetrajnam inside. Kshetrajnam Chabhimam Vidhi. Know that. Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. In all Kshetrams, all Kshetra means all material bodies, I am the Kshetrajna. He will say this later on in the 13th chapter. So, Kshetrajna means Krishna. Kshetrajna means Krishna. Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. That he is not only present in one Kshetram. He is present in all the Kshetrams. So, Krishna says, Arjuna, know this first thing, that as Kshetrajna who is present in all the bodies is me. First thing is me. That, after saying that, Krishna says, that it is that Kshetrajna who Krishna addressed here is Jiva Bhudam. Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho Yedam Dharide Jagat. That Jiva Bhudam is that Kshetrajna which Krishna is referring to here. Why is it called Jiva Bhudam? It appears as though he is a Jiva. It appears as though he is a Jiva. Because, see what some person comes and stand in front of you and see him through our eyes, or through hear about him through our ears, or smell that object through our nose, or we smell him through the nose, or touch him through the senses, and through this way, there is a ways of what is known in the Shastram as that the how to understand the Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. The Aparaprakriti is the one what you are experiencing through your senses. Through your senses, what you are experiencing in a person is his Aparaprakriti. So, that is what Aparaprakriti is. And there is a way that through segregating this Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti, it is a upasana. It's a way of self-realization. It's a way of self-realization. Because in everyone inside, everyone, these two things are there. Which one? Aparaprakriti is there, Paraprakriti is there. Then how will it help you in your life? This is important first thing. How will it help me to know there is Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti in everybody? This is a upasana process. Upasana process means it's a process with which people engage their spiritual life with. How develop this vision of Aparaprakriti and Paraprakriti in everyone? Aparaprakriti in everyone. For example, in a family life particularly, you have husband, wife, children and so many other people. So, sometimes in the family life there is problems, isn't it? Husband and wife don't like each other, there is problem fighting. Or parents and the children, there is fighting. All these things goes on everywhere. It's not in one place only. Happens everywhere. Now, if you, sometimes husband will say that wife is not listening, she's not very helpful and all kinds of problems they'll say. And same vice versa also. Husband, wife will say something about the husband. These problems do happen in life. But what Krishna is saying to us here, that the that when they come out, they will all be very friendly and externally everything nice. But when you get home, the problem starts again. So this is family life. It's everywhere in the world. It is like that. So sometimes they will say, what should we do? What can we do? You can't do anything about it. The problem is this, that if you try to solve the problem, it will not be problem, will not be solved. But what can be done is, that's what Krishna is saying this Paraprakriti Avraprakriti here. That if husband and wife can understand each other, this Paraprakriti and Avraprakriti properly, then the chances are that it won't be very strong, the fighting. Argument won't get very strong. Why? Because Avraprakriti is subject to change. It can subject to change. On Paraprakriti, everybody is good because everyone is spirit soul, isn't it? It's not just good enough to say, oh, he's also a spirit soul, so everything is okay with him, but he's doing all this nonsense, you'll say, like that, isn't it? But that's not how you have to understand. You have to understand that the Paraprakriti in everyone is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the Paraprakriti. But it is his Avraprakriti that is throwing all, causing all the problems in the life, all the, in this life. So if the husband and wife know each other, their Avraprakriti, then it can help a lot with the situation, can help a lot with the situation. if you can take that attitude, it is his Avraprakriti, I'll bear with it. And you cannot change any of these things. Never try to change somebody's Avraprakriti. It cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. So what we are saying is all the time, you know, he is a devotee. Why is he behaving like this? He is chanting. What is the use? We ask all these kind of questions. If you don't like, husband doesn't like the wife, wife doesn't like the husband. We'll raise all these kind of things. He has been chanting for so many years. Why is it like this? He has not changed anything. We'll say that. This is the misunderstanding we have about it, about spiritual life. Actually, everyone has got Avraprakriti and Paraprakriti in everybody. If we recognize that Avraprakriti is what is this dealings, all Vyavaharam is all through Avraprakriti, isn't it? Paraprakriti wise, he is perfect and she is perfect. Nothing wrong with either of them, either with the husband or with the wife. Because Paraprakriti by very definition itself is Aparayam idasvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahavaho eyadam dharide jagat. That Paraprakriti is such a superior thing. It has no blemishes in Paraprakriti. It is mortal and it is full of knowledge. Where the problem is all there in the Aparaprakriti. Problem is all there in the Aparaprakriti. So, nothing can be changed. If it changes, let it change. Because Aparaprakriti is like that. It may change or may not change. But like the weather. Weather changes, so probably your Avraprakriti also can change. So sometimes in Avraprakriti some changes can happen. Sometimes he may become a good person and friendly and all that. But don't put your faith in that. This is the main thing. The very next moment that Avraprakriti can change again. That is the very nature of the Avraprakriti. This is what Krishna is saying to us. You know why Krishna has broken up this us into pieces like this? To tell us these things, to make us understand that, look, don't deal with a person as a whole. Deal with his different parts separately. You deal with his Avraprakriti in one way, Paraprakriti in another way. In everyone, you see the Paraprakriti which is pure. That is perfect. Nothing wrong there. Everybody. But his Paraprakriti side, Avraprakriti, you don't put your faith in that. It can change all the time by the very nature. So, because Prakriti by very nature is continuously changing, today whom you find as a good person, tomorrow you can find him as a bad person also. And now today he may be in a good mood, but you can't trust. Because his Avraprakriti is dependent on the, different things, on the modes of nature as well as on the, the mind, intelligence, false ego, which is all a part of the Avraprakriti. So sometimes you'll find them very friendship and friendly and loving, but when they will bite you, you don't know. This is the nature. That's Avraprakriti. In daily life, if you observe that, whether it's in the temple, outside the temple, doesn't matter. It's the same. It's not different. Not that everyone is a saint once you get into the manor inside. No, it's not necessary. Aparaprakriti will work at all levels. Sannyasis, gurus also, aparaprakriti will work. They also got aparaprakriti. Not that they are all paraprakriti. No, everybody has this aparaprakriti and paraprakriti in them. So, aparaprakriti is always subject to change. If you accept that, then you won't feel very distressed about it when something goes wrong in life. You don't have to feel depressed about that because it is his aparaprakriti is like that. So, prakriti is like that. Therefore, Krishna says, give up that aparaprakriti and try to accept only the kshetrajnam inside. Kshetrajnam means the one who is living inside. Kshetrajna lakshanam prakritim jivabhutam prakritim. If you can see this, it's separately aparaprakriti and paraprakriti. In Shastram, there is a process called, this is Jnanamargam, this is. It is called Madhuvidya. Madhuvidya. It's a technique they use. Madhuvidya. There is Madhuvidya, Dharavidya, Uharavidya, Upakosalavidya, Akshipurushavidya. There are so many techniques Jnanis use for realizing the truth. And Madhuvidya is one of them. What does Madhuvidya do? How the name came was, a bee goes to different flowers. And it will only take the honey from there and it will leave. Same way, if we also develop that capacity to see in a person what you find good in him, take it and leave the rest to that. If you can do that, he says that one who knows this process, it's a kind of spiritual life. It's a kind of spiritual life. It's a upasana process it is. You say upasana process. See, what we are directly seeing in a person is his body and his bodily activities and all his problems with his mind. Because sometimes when you deal with people, you will be quite often shocked by the way they are reacting to different situations. Isn't it? They are reacting to different situations. Mainly because the aparavidya inside him, you don't know what all aparavidya he has got inside him. It is coming from avidya. And we will criticize that person thinking that, oh, why is he like this? Why does he behave like this? And he can be sometimes, you may think that he is deliberately trying to manipulate the situation in his way or playing politics, we say about him. But all these things, when we refer to Shastram, Shastram is telling us that aparavidya, the more aparavidya in a person, the more impure he is, very impure, the more aparavidya in a person. That's why once Prabhupada once said this, he said a small, simple farmer in a village in the country, he said he is much more philosophically advanced than a highly educated professor in the famous university, he said. Why? Because of this reason. That simple farmer, he doesn't know much. He hasn't filled his brain with all aparavidya. Whereas this professor has studied 20, 50, 30 years and continuously researching, collecting information from all over the world and thinking, reflecting on that. He has destroyed his consciousness, in other words. For him, it's more difficult now to come to terms with the life. And he gets more, whereas the simple farmer, what he does in the morning, he gets up, he puts his plow in the shoulder, takes his bulls and goes to the field. Whole day either he is plowing and in the evening he is tired, he comes home, eats something, he sleeps. And the little family life, whatever is centered around him. Not much aparavidya has gone inside. Whereas our sophisticated, very complex, advanced scientist, he has learned so much in this life with aparavidya, filled everything inside. And now it has become very knowledge what he has taken in has become a block for him in realizing the simple facts of spiritual life. So that is the point. So what will happen is when you start experiencing this aparavidya in a person, you'll only see his body, nothing else. What you have to remember is that you are keeping that person away. And you are seeing everything else except the person inside, which is the soul, which is the soul, kshetrajna inside. So you cannot avoid it, you will see it. And this thing we also seeing that today, sometimes when we meet people, we say, oh, somebody is a good person and somebody is a bad person. Someone we say is a gentleman. Somebody says, we say, is a rogue. This is all avaravidya it is. Avaravprakriti of a person, we are talking about it. So when we give up this and we start giving importance to the real person inside, Krishna who is present there as the soul, then it is then that proper you are start seeing that person. Properly you are starting seeing that person. But initially, Krishna says that initially you have to practice it. That not to see that avaraprakriti. If you learn, develop this habit to ignore things like that in life, somebody has done something to you, but learned able to give it up, knowing that that is that person's avaraprakriti in him. But it is nothing wrong with that person as such, because as a soul, he is as much as Kshetrajna Krishna is inside that person. Not to feel about it. But if you can ignore that person's reaction to you, taking it as his avaraprakriti, then it will not get in and cause any problems inside. Otherwise, it will develop into problems. Whether it is good people or bad people, it is a question is, this practical application of that in life, Krishna says here, that is what Krishna is going to talk about. So, in this world, everything in this world is a mixture of these two, paraprakriti and avaraprakriti. If you look at the next verse, that's what Krishna is saying there. Verse 6, Krishna says, etad yonini bhutani sarvanindyubadharayam aham krishnasya jagadam prabhava pralayastadham etad yonini bhutani sarvanindyubadharayam aham krishnasya jagadam prabhava pralayastadham etad yonini bhudhani sarvani iti upadharayam aham krishnasya jagada prabhava pralayastadham. Translation: all created beings have their souls in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. I am both the origin and the dissolution. I know if you read that translation, you won't get any understanding what it is saying. Bhagavad Gita's difficulty. This is Bhagavad Gita's difficulty. That is why everything requires very detailed explanation, so you get a feel what it is spoken. It says here, all created beings have their source in these two natures. Agree. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. In simple terms, Krishna is saying, whether it is avaraprakriti or paraprakriti, it comes from me. It comes from me. So, what we'll do, we'll stop now today. It's 5:10, isn't it? And we'll continue on Wednesday. Tomorrow, no classes. And then, from then on, as usual. Yeah. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.